Call the meeting to order. Good morning. This is State Government Finance Committee meeting for Thursday, January 20th, 2011. And we now have a quorum, and so we'll first of all take the minutes. You have the minutes from our last meeting before you. Would someone care to move those minutes? Representative Erdahl. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of January 19th? Seeing none, all in favor of those minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The minutes are approved. We have a special guest member with us today. Representative Mary Liz Holberg is chair of the Ways and Means Committee. And in that capacity, as has been the case for years, she is officially an ex officio member of this committee. That's been standard practice that we've had along the way. So, Representative Holberg, welcome. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I actually was on this committee last session, so I like all the familiar faces, but I also like all the new faces.
Well, thank you. Welcome. We have a couple of bills this morning. The first bill before us is House File 127. Representative McNamara is the author. This was originally introduced by Representative Dean, and there's been an author switch, and Representative McNamara is now carrying the bill. So, Representative McNamara, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Chair, if somebody would move my bill, that would be great.
I will move the bill. And recommend to refer the bill to Ways and Means.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I could just take a couple minutes to explain to the members what this bill is about and how it will help us move our state forward, that would be great. As many of you know, we spent last summer and last fall touring our districts and listening into what people had to say. And unfortunately, over the last couple years, our economy has been less than stellar. We've had a tough time, and I'll just talk a little bit about some of our neighbors that work in the construction industry and the challenges they've had. Some of you are familiar with that industry. I spent a career in the landscape construction nursery business, so I am familiar with that industry. That industry currently is suffering with about a 35% unemployment rate and really struggling. And what I'll tell you is if you just take a look at the part of the industry that I'm very familiar with, the landscape nursery industry, as you can imagine, when there's no homes being built, no construction, commercial buildings being built, the demands for trees has gone down. The demand for trees is about 50% what it used to be. These are trees that people planted 5 years ago, invested lots of money, and they're not worth anything anymore. So the price of trees has gone down in many cases to 50%. So these businesses are operating on 30 cents on the dollar that they had just a couple years ago. So these are our neighbors that have found a way to continue on with 30% of the revenue they used to have just a few short years ago. And as I was out talking to our neighbors, door knocking last year, last fall, they kept saying, "Will you please live within your means? We can't give you any more. You have to show that you can lead and have government live within its means." Now, I say that as I talk about my career in the private sector, in the landscape business. I grew up in a home with six brothers and sisters and a father that spent 41 years working for the state of Minnesota. I think I've got, of my six brothers and sisters, four of them taught at different levels. One spent a career working for the federal government. One works for local government. One was a high school teacher. So I know about government and the challenges and working for the public sector and how great our state employees are. I have one of the highest rates of state employees in the state as far as the number of state employees that commute from Hastings and Cottage Grove, a lot of them into St. Paul to work here in the complex. Folks, we have to show that we're willing to lead and live within our means. And state government employees have to be willing to accept a couple years of flat pay so that we can protect as many of them as possible and keep them working. And I will just tell you real quick, President Obama has proposed a two-year federal freeze. President Obama. Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo from New York proposed a hard freeze. Harley-Davidson just accepted, the union employees in Harley-Davidson in Wisconsin accepted a seven-year wage freeze. The union employees, 7 years to protect their jobs. It's about job protection. The Minnesota Orchestra accepted a wage freeze. Twin City hospitals, including Fairview, Park Nicollet, Bakery Local 22 at Lunds and Byerly's have accepted a wage freeze. Eden Prairie and Annandale school districts have accepted pay freezes. It's what our neighbors expect. We want to protect these jobs and keep as many people working as we can, realizing the tough time we're here in today, and this is just part of the solution. Thanks for giving me the time, Mr. Chair, and the leniency to explain something I feel very strongly about.
Questions for Representative McNamara and questions on the bill. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just consulting with House Research on what the current status is with wage increases or freezes, and how long that's been in effect. And Mr. Shepard, I would like Mr. Shepard to refresh all of our memories on where we're at today.
Okay, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy and members, the current contracts and compensation plans for state employees for this biennium do not include any across-the-board increases to take effect during this biennium. In general, those contracts that had steps for this biennium provided no step increases the first year of the biennium, but for those employees who were eligible, they could get a step increase in the second year of the biennium.
And
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Shepard, did we have any holds in the past biennium?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your question.
The previous biennium, before this one, were there great increases in wages and salaries and bonuses?
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I don't have that right in front of me, but I can check with Mr. Hubinger's in the audience, and he could provide me, I think, with some of that information. So I will go check with him and get back to you.
Thank you.
Representative McNamara.
I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, if Mr. Shepard could expand. You mentioned the steps were available in the second year. Do you remember what the step possibilities, the percentage were for both the AFSCME and MAPE employees? What was the percentage potential increase for that?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, there was some testimony yesterday in the committee from the state labor negotiator, Barbara Holmes, who testified that the steps that are in each contract vary a bit, and I think she said they typically vary from about 2.7% to about 3.5%. She also said that once employees reach the top of their range, they are not eligible for the steps, and that roughly 50% of the employees are no longer eligible for step increases, but that varies considerably from contract to contract.
Well, Mr. Chair, I wanted that to be clear. Thank you. Our proposal, Bill House File 127, is a hard freeze. It would not allow people to say we've had a wage freeze, but yet 50% of the people got a 2.5% and a 3.5% raise. Most of our neighbors, if you tell them their neighbor, a state employee, half of them got a 2.5% or a 3.5% raise, they're like, that exceeds inflation. That's not a wage freeze. That's a pay increase.
Further questions? Representative Downey?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make sure I'm clear, too. Question number one for Representative McNamara. Your bill, based on its effective date, would not do anything to the currently agreed-to contracts. Is that correct? This would only be for what we negotiate with our bargaining units going forward from July 1, 2011. Is that accurate? So we're not messing with existing contracts.
correct.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, Representative Downing, that is correct.
And Mr. Chair, if I could,
Representative Downing?
Could then, I just want to make sure I'm clear. When Representative Murphy was talking about this biennium, where she was referring to the current one, is that accurate, Mr. Shepard, in terms of what you were describing?
Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara didn't have the opportunity to hear the presentation yesterday about the way that state labor contracts are negotiated, and it might be helpful to just review the basic facts. Which are, generally speaking, the legislature appropriates funds to state agencies. And the state agencies together have a contract negotiator from the executive branch who takes the available funds to the agencies and negotiates the wages, benefits, working conditions, etc., under the conditions imposed broadly by PELRA. The testimony yesterday from the negotiator was that when the legislature weighs in with a specific requirement for how the contracts have to be negotiated or how what needs to be done, it creates a problem in management's ability to effectively negotiate with the unions. And the two examples we discussed, first was a GOP initiative during the Ventura years to prevent the labor negotiator from negotiating domestic partner benefits. The second example we discussed was a DFL initiative, I think, in the last biennium anyway, to block the labor negotiator from eliminating certain positions at state health and human services providers. I think it was mental health facilities. And their testimony was that it's not helpful for the legislature to come in with very specific prohibitions on what they can negotiate. And it seems to me that if we want to reduce the state workforce, we should continue to do what we've been doing for the last 2 years, which is to reduce appropriations, to make cuts. We all understand that we're going to be making significant cuts to state government, but I don't know that the legislature's role is to tell the employer, management, how exactly they're supposed to negotiate the appropriations that are available to them for wages and benefits. And I guess my question to you, Representative McNamara, is why bind their hands? If we're going to be making cuts anyway, why not let them have the flexibility to manage operations to the best of their ability, determine whether layoffs or wage freezes or reducing workforce through attrition is the best way of managing the funds that they have to deliver the services? Why would we get involved in that way?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Winkler, thanks for a good question. I would prefer to see as many state employees keep their jobs as possible. And if we were to continue on with, for instance, the current contracts, if they were to be the ones that were settled, the 2.5% and 3.5% wage increase would basically add to many more layoffs of state employees. And I would prefer to see as many employees keep working, realizing the tough time we're through, and ask all of us to work together to share in the possibilities of keep going forward. I don't think it helps to give a certain number of employees a raise when so many people are struggling.
Mr. Chair, Representative
McNamara,
that's a perfectly reasonable position, but it seems to me that that's a decision that should be arrived at with between the employees and the employer, in this case, and management specifically, the ones who are tasked with making sure that all legal requirements are met and services are delivered in the best manner possible. And they're much better equipped to have the ongoing discussion, negotiation, and interaction with employees through their representatives to determine whether raises can be accommodated, whether cost increases are the most important, whether preserving as many jobs is as important is the most important thing. But I think our job is not to wade in and give specific guidance like this, but to set the appropriation, set the broad framework for negotiation, and then they bring the contract back to us, and we can approve it or not approve it. But I don't see how we're making anything more you know, more efficient, how we're increasing managerial management's ability to deliver better services at less cost by wading in this manner. It seems like a fairly blunt instrument to me.
Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Representative Winkler raises a really excellent point, and it's one that I hope we wrestle with as a legislature very, very broadly. One of my observations is that we actually do far too often get down to prescribing in great detail not only what state agencies have to do and how to do it, but all the way down into local units of government and our K-12 school systems and the like. And so I think it's an important discussion to have broadly in the legislature. How far do you go to prescribe exactly what the executive branch agencies should do and how to do it? I know this isn't a perfect correlation, but in the case of our overall state cost structure, I believe this is an appropriate place for the legislature to provide some high-level guidance or guardrails, if you will, to the executive branch and say our observation as a legislature, if we have kind of a board of directors type of approach with the governor, to say our observation is that our cost structure isn't tenable, and one of the guardrails that we'd like to put up for this biennium is something along these lines. And you'd see that really often in the private sector. If you've got a business where, you know, a certain cost element as part of their business is out of line, the board tells the CEO, you know what, we've got to address this particular issue. And they give very specific guidance, typically in terms of outcomes as to, you know, maybe not how or exactly the way to get there. So if Representative Winkler were comfortable with saying we can't have a, you know, if it's a 0% total increase in the total cost of labor across the executive branches compared to prescribing a freeze, you know, maybe that would be a different kind of outcome measure to accomplish the same goal. But kind of given where we're at and Representative McNamara's bill, I think this is a perfectly reasonable move for the legislature to make, to say we see this challenge in state government. We're going to give you this directive. You know, maybe there's a slightly different mechanism to get there, but I don't think this is an inappropriate role for the legislature, and I would strongly support Representative McNamara's bill as a way to send that signal to the governor's office. Sitting on this committee 2 years ago, and again, I was a new person and didn't understand what was happening or what was going to come to us, but all of a sudden we get these collective bargaining agreements, and they've been negotiated, and the bargaining units have accepted them, and then we're put in the untenable position as a committee or as a legislature to somehow reject them. I think some guidance on the front end of that process from us here in this committee and us in the legislature is entirely appropriate, necessary, and I think Representative McNamara's approach is perfectly legitimate.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Winkler, I have four brothers, and we were partners in business. And people would come negotiate salary increases with one of us. They didn't get the right answer, they go to another one. It kind of made me a little mad sometimes, but what we needed in my business was having one person set the tone for what's going to happen. And just like Representative Downey says, we have to have somebody say whether it's a zero increase period or it's a freeze, and I get chilled when I hear that word freeze, but I really believe that we have to act as a legislative body to make this happen. So every negotiation will turn out the same. Otherwise, they'll go to the next brother.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And last couple of years, I've been carrying that bill that you're talking about. And to be quite honest, it's, you know, it's not a bill that I've negotiated. It's been negotiated by your team member, the governor, for the last 8 years. And if you look at the graph, I always used it in my presentation when there would be questions. They'd go, well, you know, this wouldn't be the graph that I would have done. It probably would have been a little bit higher. You know, I probably would have gave them increases or something. So I don't know if you noticed yesterday when Ms. Holmes was doing her presentation, she seemed, I guess my sense was she was seemed like it was a pro-management negotiated contracts, or the contracts were generally pro management that have happened in the last couple of years. And I think that's, I think that's a credit to their team in the governor's office, but I think it's credit to the workers. They also sense that things were different. Things have been different in the last couple of years, that the economy has changed, the world's changed, and they also negotiated a different contract. Chair McNamara, in his bill, I mean, in his presentation, you know, I'm one of those workers that he talked about. I work at Delta, and we took a pay cut a couple of years ago, and many of my folks are very happy to have a job, you know. So I sympathize with what he's saying. It's I just have a little different opinion. I think we should, you know, I'm really comfortable with the negotiator. I thought it's been a pretty fair contract for the state of Minnesota. I thought this trend line, you know, reflected what's going on in the state and the country with the contract in the last couple of years. And I'm not sure it's really good to have us involved. But perhaps by having some direction that's comfortable. In your bill specifically, a couple days ago we had Ms. Bicker, the investment board director came in, and we had an opportunity when Chair Lanning and I were on the committee to, they wanted to give him a pay raise, and I don't think your bill deals with that possibility where we're trying to keep key staff. And in the end, we decided to give that, you know, that investment board folks a pay increase just to be able to retain these people with, you know, the higher level of responsibility. Or, you know, I'm not sure you've covered that variable in here, but perhaps I'm just not reading it right. And maybe it's in the amendment or something, too. So that's, I guess, would be my only question. The rest was kind of comment.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, ever since my first term of 2003, we periodically faced this question. And since 2003, my position has been that whoever has direct say, the final say over a contract, should have direct input into that contract. And that's why I would speak in favor of Representative McNamara's bill today. But, for example, if the question were to come up, should teachers' pay be frozen, I would look at it differently because the local school boards have direct say over that.
Members, I'd like to reiterate some of the comments I've already made, and that is it is not appropriate for us to be tinkering with existing contracts. We have to honor and respect the contracts that have been agreed to, that are in place. The only way those contracts can ever be amended is by mutual agreement between the state and the unions. That's the only way. That's not what we're talking about here. And recalling the testimony that we had before us yesterday, the negotiators need to follow the law. They need to follow what PELRA says. That is a set of guidelines that they have in the negotiation process. But Ms. Holmes also said that obviously the legislature can pass and the governor can sign additional laws that set up additional parameters or whatever. it certainly isn't appropriate for us to be micromanaging the negotiation process, but I don't think that's what this bill does. This bill sets up a parameter, a very important parameter in terms of what are we going to spend totally with regard to our agreements. And as I also said before, the worst thing that could happen to us is that we have contracts that get negotiated and come back with something like we had here that Representative Lilly and I had to weigh in on, and the legislature says no, we're not going to spend that. And that would be not in the best interests of the employees. It would not be in the best interests of the state. And so I think it's entirely appropriate for us as representing the people of Minnesota to say, this is our set of parameters. There will not be increases in the coming biennium. And so, anyway, further question or comment? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, are there people that are going to be testifying?
We will offer people wish to come forward and testify, yes. I wanted to give the committee first the opportunity to ask questions or make comments about this.
Thank you. Based on what you said and what Representative McNamara said, I think we should talk a little bit about whether this legislation will invite a lawsuit, because some people might see this as negating the provisions of PELRA. And so this takes away the ability to, perhaps does this take away the ability to negotiate then, because, and the collective bargain, because we're saying we can't deal with money. How do you see that?
Well, Representative Murphy, that's obviously a legal question that I don't think any of us around the table are prepared to answer it in a legal way as to whether or not there is that opening, let's say, for someone to challenge this. And I don't think there's anybody probably in the room today that can really answer that question or speak to it from a legal point of view. Mr. Shepard?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, with respect to future contracts that have not been negotiated yet, and I'm not going to weigh in on the policy debate that you've been engaging on, but as a legal matter, I think this is permissible. I think it's permissible for the legislature to write the laws that govern bargaining and to say, for example, the legislature passed a law that said you cannot bargain on pension matters. Similarly, this would be another type of a provision that would say that you can't do this for future contracts. So without getting into the policy debate, I think as a legal matter for future contracts, this would be permissible.
Representative Gauthier, did you?
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Murphy pretty much covered what I was going to say. It seems to me by advocating a freeze that we've just ceased negotiations with our employees who carry out our policy. And then I get concerned if we're doing that and then we're offering other legislation that calls for across-the-board cuts in employees. We are just devastating morale and functions of state government. And so I don't view this as a policy statement. This is a negotiation, and it's what we've said is the legislature, if this bill were to pass, isn't going to negotiate in good faith about wages. And I don't know that we should be doing that. I believe negotiations are privy to the executive branch. And so I certainly wouldn't favor this statement. You know, when I was on the Duluth City Council, we negotiated contracts. The city did, the administration, that had salary freezes, but they did it in good faith with the unions. And it was a collective bargaining agreement. It wasn't the council saying, you're not having a pay raise. So I think we've gone a little farther down the line than what we need to do. We have trusted negotiators in the executive branch. They know the financial situation of the state. The employees know the financial status of the state. And I don't think people are going to be unreasonable when they negotiate a contract. But this certainly is just saying, this is it, folks. And I don't think the legislature should be doing that.
Members, I know Representative McNamara is chairing another committee at this same hour, and I will come back, if it's all right. I want to call for anyone in the audience who wishes to speak for or against this legislation, House File 127. to come forward now while Representative McNamara can still be here to respond. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard on this, either for or against? Seeing that no one wishes to be heard, Representative Leidiger.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak in favor of Representative McNamara's bill. This is one of the major reasons why I was elected. This is what the people of Minnesota want. And now I want to talk about my personal situation. I worked in the office furniture industry. This is an industry which has been devastated in the state. Over 14 dealerships just around the Beltway have gone out of business. And several companies that I know of, and they have reduced pay and are very happy to have a job. I think the state employees will be extremely happy to know that they're at least going to be able to keep their job, even with a pay freeze. Now, this is, as Representative McNamara said, there are several states that have done this. The federal government is doing this. And the other thing to remember is this is not going to be forever. We are going to pull out of this. I just wanted to state those reasonings. Thank you.
Representative Banyan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a question for you, Representative McNamara. Before I offer some comments, I hope I can reserve time for both. I'm looking at the fiscal note to this bill, which argues that we would save, if I do my math right, $63 million over the biennium. Over next biennium, if we were to act on this, I'm trying to look at the basis of that calculation, Representative, and in particular, if you'll refer to page 3 of the fiscal note at the very bottom. I'm just going to read this in so that everyone's aware of this. It says, the effect of not implementing an across-the-board increase is not included in our note since no increases have been negotiated for the next contract period. Not a surprise. We haven't done the contracts yet. The cost avoided from not implementing a 1% across-the-board increase effective the first day of the first year of the 2012-2013 biennium is roughly $47.5 million for the biennium. Am I correct in saying that is not included in the number in the fiscal note?
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, that is true.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's very important because the fiscal note assumes a status quo that may not, in fact, apply when we get to the contracts that are negotiated. In fact, this may save more than that if it should turn out that the governor decides not to. If we pass this bill, the governor has the opportunity to simply say, I don't like it. I want to have the flexibility of negotiating. Veto the bill. That's fine. That's perfectly within his right. And then he'll have that flexibility. The cost of that may be more than the numbers indicated in this bill. And I think that needs to be said here. The impact of this is important. Representative Lilly, I've had the same experience. In fact, I work for a Minsky institution. You'll note that the impact of this bill on Minsky salaries is minimal. The reason for that is we've already got a 2-year wage freeze. I thought that might be nice to talk about when I was on the campaign trail. Turned out I got no sympathy for that whatsoever. In fact, they would tell me stories about how they took a cut. I called my kid brother, who works from the private sector, and I said, you know what, he's got similar political opinions as I do, and I said to him, hey, you know what, we did a wage freeze. We're doing the fiscally responsible thing here at our state university. He said, hey, I just took a 7% wage cut. That's a pretty tough deal for him, okay? And so I learned to shut up about my wage freeze the hard way. This is something that we're already experiencing. We're trying to hold the line on making, at least in the Minsky institutions, at least at my institution at St. Cloud State, we look at it as a way to save a few jobs. And this, in fact, will save a few jobs. It has for us already. I can tell you that. I can tell you that from experience. And I'm strongly in favor of this bill, and I thank Representative McNamara for bringing it and for your time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative McNamara. That was a question I was trying to figure out exactly how much. You know, when we get fiscal note and trying to figure out what is there. You know, the headline in the Pioneer Press, I'm sure you all saw it today, was the GOP proposes to cut 5,000 jobs. And I think about what are we doing in this legislature? We all want jobs, we need to keep jobs, yet we have a bill that's going to propose to save money, but as a result, what we heard from the testimony yesterday was we're going to have less qualified people that even want to come to work in Minnesota. We're not going to have the high-level workforce that we need. Because people can go elsewhere to make a living. I knew the idea of freezes was going to come up. I mean, this is no surprise to us, but what's worrisome is that it does take it out of the collective bargaining process. So I know you're going to pass the bill today. You're the majority. It's your job to do this. But I would say I think we need to not have a bill on this, but let the process take place, as my colleagues have talked about. And I think we also have to remember it's about jobs and keeping people that are well-qualified in Minnesota. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, this bill doesn't look like it has an end date on here. It just says on line 1.21 that it's effective as of June 30th, 2011. Since I take the spirit of your bill to be that this is just a one-time, one-biennium thing, at least for now, and at least I didn't think that you were saying you wanted this to be a wage freeze in perpetuity, would you be amenable to language that makes clear that it's just for the biennium, it's not forever?
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, it's a rather short bill, only 21 lines, so I took the liberty. Representative Simon, thank you for the question, Mr. Chair. Representative Simon, I would prefer to leave the bill the way it is. I think the bill is nice and simple right now. I'd prefer to leave it that way, unless the wishes of someone else wants to speak up now. I'd rather leave the bill the way it is, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
And I do respect that, Representative McNamara, but I'd like to, if you're amenable, Mr. Chair, I know this. I don't know what your rule is going to be with respect to these sort of on-the-fly modifications in terms of an amendment, whether maybe we could just ask Mr. Shepard what the language would be. I'd like to offer the amendment if I could, if Mr. Shepard thinks it's something that he could come up with right now and we could vote on it, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Shepard.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon. If Representative Simon wanted to make this into a two-year wage freeze, the language to do that would be on page 1, line 7, before the period, insert, before July 1, 2013.
Mr. Chair, if I may... And if you're amenable to that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer that the language that Mr. Shepard just suggested as an amendment. In other words, it would limit it to the next biennium, but only the next biennium.
I will allow you to make that amendment, and so you're wishing to amend?
Yes.
According to what Mr. Shepard just said?
That's correct.
Representative McNamara? You would your position on that amendment would be?
Mr. Chair, I'm opposed to the amendment because I think we need to just set a general direction here. We heard from Harley-Davidson, for instance. They accepted a seven-year wage freeze to protect the jobs in this important town in Wisconsin. Folks sent us here to lead and expect us to lead. And if our answer is that we want to let them negotiate pay raises, that's going to cost people jobs. people expected us to come here and lead, and I'd rather keep the job simple, Mr. Chair, and I'm opposed to the Arl Amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Out of Representative Simon.
I would just say that I appreciate the spirit of the bill and Representative McNamara's comments. I think you are showing leadership here. We may disagree on the merits, but I think you are, and the legislature is. I would just say that it would be up to the next legislature 2 years from now to make the same decision and to act again to decide whether we want to extend the pay freeze rather than just making it automatically permanent. So, Mr. Chair, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. And so would you call the roll? On the amendment, restate the amendment, if you would, Representative Simon.
Mr. Chair, thank you. The spirit of the amendment is to make sure that this is only for the coming biennium. In other words, as Mr. Shepard said on line 1.7, after the period, or before the period, rather, we would add the words before July 1, 2013.
Lanning?
No.
Benson?
No.
Kahn? Anderson?
Respect to the author, no.
Banyan?
No.
Downey?
No.
Gauthier?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Gunther?
No.
Hayden?
Yes.
Leidiger?
No.
Lilly?
Yes.
Lohmer?
No.
McElfetrick?
No.
Murphy?
Yes.
Murray?
No.
Simon?
Yes.
Slawik?
Yes.
Stensrud?
No.
Erdahl?
No.
Winkler?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. It's just going to take me a minute.
Representative Kahn is excused from. Everybody else is called, right?
Yep. The ayes are 8 and the nays are 12.
Yes.
Sorry.
The nays are 12 and the ayes 8, so the amendment does not pass. Seeing no other amendments, Representative Winkler?
Mr. Chair, I don't have an amendment, but just want to state clearly now the bill before us is a perpetual freeze in wages for state employees. Interfering with the collective bargaining process, and I think it's important that we're all on record on our position in this bill, so I request a roll call on the a motion on the bill.
Okay, roll call will be given. obviously, the legislature, the next time we do budgets, could change this position, so I don't think it's fair to say that this is in perpetuity. The legislature can choose down the road a year from now, 2 years from now, to take a different approach to this, and so I don't think it's fair to say that this is necessarily in perpetuity. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to make a comment as well. With respect somewhat to Representative Simon's amendment, I think absent the form that Representative McNamara asked us to keep his bill in, I believe there could have been negotiations around future contracts. And so as compared to saying this is a freeze in perpetuity, I think what it's saying is, you know, let's not negotiate anything that's an increase for now until we see what happens in the subsequent economic circumstances and the budget circumstances of the state. So I agree with you, Mr. Chair. I would not characterize the bill the way Representative Winkler did. I think it's a prudent measure and one that we should stick with for now, and it certainly doesn't preclude changing it back at a subsequent legislative session.
Representative Anderson? If not, Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would support my colleague, Mr. Winkler's position that this is in perpetuity. And it's nice to say this saves jobs, but this bill is not going to operate in a vacuum. And we have another bill yesterday that called for cuts in jobs. And we're going to be cutting programs, and we're going to be doing a lot of things. And to me, this is just the first salvo of an assault on public employees, and I intend to vote no on this.
Seeing no further discussion, I would renew my motion that House File 127 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Ways and Means. Will you call the roll?
Lanning?
No. I'm sorry, yes.
You did good, Chair.
9-11.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Benson?
Yes.
Kahn? Anderson?
Yes.
Bannion?
Yes.
Downey?
Yes.
Gauthier?
No.
Green?
No.
Gunther?
Yes.
Hayden?
No.
Leidiger?
Yes.
Lilly?
No.
Lohmer?
Yes.
McElfatrick?
Yes.
Murphy?
No.
Murray?
Yes.
Simon?
No.
Slalik?
No.
Stensrud?
Yes.
Erdahl?
Yes.
And Winkler?
No.
There being 12 votes in favor and 8 nays, the bill is passed and re-referred to Ways and Means. And I hope you'll excuse my senior moment.
We were excited.
Habits are hard to break.
We are on schedule now to take the second bill, and I had a conversation with Commissioner Showalter, and I wanted to make sure that he would be available to be here for at least some of the time we consider this next bill. And I see that he has now arrived. I appreciate that. Representative Gunther, would you come forward to present your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House File 125 be approved to pass. And Mr. Chairman and members, government spending continues to increase even in the face of tight economic times. We need to send a message to state agencies that will stop them for all non-essential discretionary spending. And that's one of the reasons we're having this bill. I think the bill is rather simple, and I think it'll be the most painless way of achieving our goal of taking care of a $6.2 billion budget deficit. In March 31st, this bill calls for the Commissioner of Management and Budget, that is named here, to have a reduction of 900. Oh, Mr. Chairman, can I have get my amendment on this bill first, please?
Okay, he has an author's amendment. It's A110024. All the members have this amendment. So you're moving the amendment?
I'm moving the amendment.
Discussion, questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Slavik.
Just to clarify, I mean, I have a PMM, what number, A110024. I don't seem to have, what's a K?
On the upper right-hand corner, it's A11-0024.
Okay. So we do have it. Thank you.
This is the amendment that has the numbers to insert on in the bill. Representative Gunther has moved the amendment. All in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The amendment is adopted. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like I was saying, this bill calls for March 31st, 2011, the Commissioner of Management and Budget to allocate a reduction of $199,236,000 for the fiscal year 2011, ending June 2011. It exempts K-12 education and special ed, and exempts MinSCU and the University of Minnesota from this cut. It includes now the House of Representatives taking a $96,000 cut. The Senate, we did not have there. There hasn't been an agreement yet with them or the governor. This is a moving target, members. It will be negotiated. And like I say, in my opinion, this is the easiest way for us to start getting our goal achieved. And the state auditor and attorney general and secretary of state have a cut because they were not subject to unallotment. And this is what 2.25% of their budgets amount to. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Members, questions for Representative Gunther. Representative Slawik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, one, I'm not too surprised to see the bill, but usually we would have hearings on what cuts we're going to make, talk to the departments about what they want to do, see what the reductions were possible. Is it an across the board cut? Is it might not be a percent of each agency? I'm trying to figure out the strategy, how you figured this.
Representative
Gunther?
The Commissioner of Management and Budget will determine that. That's why he is the one that's making the recommendations to where this money is going to be cut.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Slog.
So, Representative Gunther, so you're just recommending a cut, not knowing where it's going to come from, not knowing if it's across the board, and leaving it up to the administration?
Basically, that's what we did exempt K-12 education and special ed. We did exempt higher ed, both MinSCU and the university, because during a special session, they were cut at that time. So I think, in fairness, this is about as fair as we can make it. And as I say, this is, to me, the easiest cut we were going to make. It goes slightly towards our goal of $6.2 billion. It will be, it's a soft target. It will be negotiated by the Senate and the governor. And it could be increased or could be decreased. It could change a lot. However, this is our first shot, and I really believe you can't get it any easier than this.
Mr. Chair, the last comment is, we're voting on a bill to cut $136 million. We don't know what we're cutting. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know what the effects are. But and it's January, so we have a lot of session left where we're having hearings about where cuts will be. Yet we're going to pass this. I understand we're going to take all of these bills and roll them into one and maybe pass them in Ways and Means on Monday. I don't know, Representative Holberg, I see you're on the bill, so maybe that's what we're doing. But it seems like usually the legislature does a thoughtful process and has people talk about what the cuts are going to be and rolls them in. So,
Representative Gunther?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Slawik, this is an indication that we are starting the process. We are going to set the tone that we are going to make essential cuts to reach the goal that we have to by May of $6.2 billion. And I really believe that this is the easiest thing we're going to do and keep going towards that goal.
Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Gunther. I'm starting to, pick out the tone around we're going to cut, we're going to have to cut. I also hear you saying this is the easiest thing in which to do. Frankly, Representative Gunther, I'm not here to do the easy thing. I'm here to do the hard thing. I think we're all here to do the hard thing, and that's what they sent us up here to do, is to make the hard choices. And so, as Representative Slawik has said, I think we should do our work. We should bring in the the departments. We should have a conversation. We should figure out how, where reform plays into this, or like I say, innovation plays into this, and that we shouldn't do the easy thing, and that we should work awfully hard, and we should be very thoughtful, and we should know what the impact that this has on people. I've came a little late, and sorry, Mr. Chair, I had to get my daughter to school this morning, but just in walking in here, the tenor of, on one sense, we want to create and grow jobs, but on the other sense, we feel like those that work for us aren't worthy of the jobs to be saved, is a tone that I have picked up, and I don't mean to be offensive, but that is the tone that I'm hearing here today. And so I think that we owe it to the people that sent us up here and those that work for us to at least go through a very thoughtful process as to how this is going to impact their lives, how this is going to impact the services that we have to deliver to the citizens of this state. And so, you know, I have a lot of respect for you, Representative Gunther, and I just think that we should be doing the hard thing, not the easy thing.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff, I tell you what, none of this is going to be easy. It's all going to be hard, but from now on, I believe it's going to get harder. What this basically does is it tells the departments of state government that there's not going to be Christmas in June where they have money left in their budget, they spend it because they might not get it next time. So if we're going to have money that we can reduce this, we're letting people know this is not the time to spend money in an indiscriminate way. There has to be a real need for spending all state dollars in every department of state government. So this is the reason we have this, is to prevent that from happening, and it really does happen on a local level as well as a state level. They got money, they spend it on things that aren't necessarily necessary.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther made one of the points that I wanted to make, and I think one of the observations we have in the private sector about the public sector is that there's this use it or lose it approach to budget accounts and appropriations. And so I also agree with Representative Gunther. I don't think any of this is easy. However, when you look at our overall state budget and when you add the general fund with all of the other funds, we're spending almost $60 billion in this biennium. And as we think about trying to find every $100 million savings that we can to address our future $6 billion deficit, the thought that we could scan through that $60 billion worth of appropriations and as we get close to the end of the biennium, find unused portions of money that might be at risk of being spent for the sake of being spent, not to denigrate anyone, but human behavior. You're going to do something with the money that you've got, especially to make sure that you get it the next time. Again, I think this is just an extremely prudent, reasonable move, not easy. You're going to ask agencies to have to pick through their accounts and find the unused pots of money and return them to the general fund, so that's not easy either. But the thought that this is somehow a draconian, I keep hearing the word across-the-board cut, and I'm hopeful that at some point I'll have a chance to present my workforce bill to this committee as well to show how utterly false that characterization of it is. And it is utterly false to characterize this as some kind of draconian across-the-board cut. We're simply asking the fiscal managers of our executive branch agencies to be good stewards, to take a look through their budgets to find where they haven't actually encumbered funds and return those to the general fund so that we can get a $200 million head start in our cash account as we go into the next biennium. So totally supportive of Representative Gunther's bill, and just want to be careful that we not mischaracterize the severity or the imprudence of these moves, or as though the legislature in a ham-handed way is just dictating you know, nonsensical or imprudent moves to the executive branch. I think it's the exact reverse.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, how many brothers did you say you have? Four? You're all in business together, so there are five of you?
There are four of us together.
Four of you together.
It was an absolute war.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, the reason this is easy is because when it comes time to make cuts, you've decided to just tell your three brothers that they have to come up with $200 million to cut, and you're just going to stand aside and let them do that. That's why it's easy. It's not because the cuts are going to be much worse later. They are. But the reason why that's going to be harder is because you're going to actually have to do it. You're going to have to do the hard work to actually figure out the impact of that. When we hear comments about use it or lose it and so forth, we're not making a decision based on facts. This is a decision based on assumptions, they could be true, they could be myths about all these agencies who have this $200 million and they just can't wait because they're all going to go out and buy, you know, golden hammers and $5,000 toilet seats. I mean, maybe they're going to go spend it all on welfare queens. I mean, I feel like I'm reliving kind of a 1983 Ronald Reagan speech here. The fact of the matter is, until we know what the impact is, we're just asking somebody else to do the hard work without any thought for the impact of it. Much like the wage freeze, I feel like, I knew that from Representative Sertich that the two of you were friends, and I wonder if it's because he was a theater major, because I think this bill, the bill we just heard, and the bill that we may hear yet from Representative Downey are the cheap theater stage of the legislative session, and I look forward to getting down to the point where it actually is hard work to do real work.
Representative Benson.
Just a comment about whether that these are false assumptions. I had managed a large organization for 6 years as a district manager and had lots and lots of funds at discretion of individual managers at the local level. And I can assure you that that at the end of the year, if they felt like there was any possibility that those funds may dry up in supplies and services or other areas, that they got spent. So very quickly I had to learn early on that it was up to me as the district manager to make sure that that didn't happen by saying that anything over a certain amount had to be approved by me personally. And when that happened, of course, all those discretionary funds suddenly reappeared and we could manage it accordingly. And I think what we're doing here is just saying you don't have the funds. We need them in order to make sure that we get off to a start to save that $6.2 billion that I think most of us feel like we are elected to do come the next biennium.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In terms of the use it or lose it phenomenon, I don't know whether that's true or not. It's certainly plausible that it is, but if it is true, then this bill would only kind of move the calendar. If we make this a habit and we come in 2 years and we spend for the remaining biennium, aren't they just going to spend money before we get into town? If they knew in advance that this bill was coming, they, meaning those in the agencies, and if it's true that use it or lose it is the kind of governing attitude, wouldn't they just make sure to spend it before January 4th because they know we're coming into town, we're going to take it? I mean, I don't know that this really does much about use it or lose it if that's really the prevailing attitude.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Simon, I tell you what, if they do that, to reach the goal that management and budget sets for them, it's going to be very painful.
Representative Anderson, I understand you have an amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to comment also, being in the military and knowing for 30 years that when the budgets do come down from the federal government, that not only in the Federal Reserve, I mean the Air Force Reserve, but also in the Air National Guard, we as managers within our own sections of the military were told a year in advance to make sure that you found everything that you needed and even then some. To make sure that that money got back to the overall manager of the squadron. You had those things in by a certain deadline, which means prior to the end, beginning of the second year of the biennium, you've got those figures and those wants or needs, whichever way you want to describe them, and you make sure that they've got them and you've done your duty as a section manager to get it to the general manager. And they put their requests into the feds or to the state as to what that money is going to be spent for. And they don't want to see anything left over at the bottom line. So I think that they will spend it. It happened to me for over the last 30 years being in the State Air National Guard and in the Federal Air Force Reserve that as a section manager, you make sure that you got all your I's dotted and T's crossed and the money is spent. And, Mr. Chairman, I do have HO125A1. I would like to move that to incorporate that into Representative Gunther's bill.
Do all members have a copy of the A1 amendment? Do you wish to speak to the amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is similar to the same bill that Representative McNamara brought to us earlier. Earlier, before session started, maybe some of you have had the same experience. I and my senator and other legislators had the opportunity to meet with school districts and other agencies or people that are in the public sector domain asking for the state legislature to freeze their people's wages. And we said, well, no, we thought that you had that prerogative. And it seemed like they all wanted to take the blame away from themselves and put it back on us. And so it's amazing how when they, meaning the local, that was a school district at that time, which was back in December, they have the opportunity to freeze their wages for their teachers. They didn't want to back off. Although just hearing this past week that Annandale school district has frozen wages, that was one of the individual superintendents that I met with them, and he was very adamant about freezing wages at the time, and I was surprised that the board and the superintendent there went ahead with it, but he very much thought that that was something that we as a state legislature should be looking at, and I agree with him, and that's why the bill, or the when the opportunity was presented to me, I took an opportunity to say I would like to amend that onto Representative Gunther's bill.
Representative Gunther, do you wish to speak in favor of
the bill? For the amendment, Mr. Chairman, I think this also will solidify those people that have a job to keep their jobs, and I think it's a necessary thing to do.
Representative Simon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Consistent with my amendment on the last bill, I'd like to propose the following amendment to the amendment. On line 1.4, after the comma, add the words, and through June 30th, 2013. And the intent, Mr. Chairman, would be for this to be effective only for the coming biennium, but not thereafter. Okay. And I might ask Mr. Shepherd if that would accomplish that purpose.
Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair, Representative Simon.
Okay, we will act on that amendment.
And Mr. Chair, if it's appropriate, I don't know if I've ever done that. I think I can call for a roll call on an amendment to an amendment.
Yes.
In committee. I'll do that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I would like to echo what Representative McNamara said in his request to Representative Simon about keeping his bill clean. I'd like to keep the amendment clean, possible, and would recommend a no vote.
Okay, would you call the roll?
Lanning.
No.
Benson.
No.
Kahn. Anderson.
No.
Fanyan.
No.
Downey.
No.
Gauthier.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Gunther.
No.
Hayden.
Yes.
Leidiger.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Lohmer.
No.
McElfatrick.
No.
Murphy.
Yes.
Murray.
No.
Simon.
Yes.
Slawick.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Erdoff.
No.
Winkler.
Yes.
There being 12 no's and 8 yeses, the amendment does not pass. Seeing no other further amendments, is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard, either for or against?
Yeah.
change it.
Okay, yes, we should vote on the amendment first, then. We're going to vote on on the Anderson Amendment, okay? All in favor of the Anderson Amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Now, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard for or against this bill? Auditor Otto, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members, Rebecca Otto, the state auditor. So glad I was able to run over here today. Brief comment. I've heard this term Christmas in June. I find it offensive. I know it could have been a practice in the past, and perhaps the military did it in the past, but government has moved into a new era. And my staff, on a daily basis, every day, when we think about spending a taxpayer dollar, try to figure out the most efficient way to do it, and do we really have to make this expenditure? And I'm always looking for ways that we can send money back. And if there are people in government right now that have that mentality, that's not a good thing. But I think most people understand that we're in tough times. We have to focus on efficiency and effectiveness of our services that are being delivered. And so I think that I appreciate when we are able to have constructive conversations about what we're doing in government and are we doing it the best that we can, rather than assuming that people aren't doing the right thing in government, if that makes sense. And so we have not been contacted. We haven't had any conversations with anybody. I saw this bill come up, and this is not what I've normally experienced. And so I'm hoping that we can have these conversations, and I can explain to committees what we have done to make it better, to save local government's money, to save our office money, to save taxpayer money, so that, you know, we can assist you in being successful with this problem that we have as a state. And I hope that government doesn't get painted with a bad brush, because government isn't bad. I think most of us are focused on good government, and we understand that we have to make sacrifices, and I try to do that on a daily basis on behalf of Minnesotans. And so I look forward to hopefully a constructive conversation that's thoughtful, so that we can make this work as a, you know, as a team. So, thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Auditor Otto. The amount of money that was amended, what percentage is that, or how did that affect you, that amount affect your agency in a ballpark figure?
Auditor Otto.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, this is the when I walked into the room, that's when I saw the number. I had looked online yesterday, and there was no number. And so I guess this has now occurred. I'd have to go back to the office. What I can tell you is I've been looking for things to give back. We usually send money back as an office, and we're very good about that. And so I'd have to go back and sit down with my staff and look at our books. We're happy to try to do anything that we can. But without, this is the first time I've seen the number. Again, we were not contacted. You know, it might be like about 2.5%, and I think it may be of our non-fee reimbursement, because most of our offices, you give us an appropriation, we put it back in the general fund. We collect fees. So there's a small portion that doesn't happen with, and it's going to be a smaller percentage. But again, making sure we understand what this means, right, to the taxpayers, if they're not going to get oversight that they're hoping for. So.
Representative Murphy. Mr. Chair, Ms. Otto, I appreciate that. And when I wrote the figures in on my bill, then I thought, holy cow, she's got $41,000, but then Attorney General is $500,000. And I thought, holy cow, Representative Gunther. That was, and I thought, you really don't like the Attorney General, or is it that there's that much difference in the budget?
Representative Gunther.
Representative Murphy, I always try to be equally nice to everyone. And, this represents a 2.25% cut based on the fact that they were not unallotted like every other Department of State Government was. So this is why they have $41,000 for the state auditor and a half a million for the attorney general, because that represents 2.25% of their budget. And I thought that everybody should share the pain a little bit from unallotment, so we're just catching them up.
Okay. So,
Representative Murphy.
So, Mr. Chair, Governor Pawlenty wasn't a cruel person, but you came to be nice, huh?
I hope that's right.
Thank you.
Representative Slawik. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Chair. And Auditor Otto, thank you for coming today, because you've been making the point exactly that we do a bottoms-up process where we're asking what things you could cut and then take those into consideration and come up with the numbers. You know, members, we know that it was a Pawlenty administration for the last 8 years, so we're saying the Republican administration didn't spend their money well. Well, we know there have been cuts most of those 8 years. We know that there was that government initiative, I think it was called Minnesota Drive, where he was doing a drive to excellence to constantly save costs. And Otto, I just wondered your experience in the Pawlenty administration. Were there not a lot of budget tightening, and were they trying to watch how government dollars were being spent? And
Auditor Otto?
Mr. Chair, members, and Representative Slawik, I did some work with Governor Pawlenty, but in terms of management of the agencies and his commissioners, you know, they did their work. But I would say that, again, in my experience, my office, it's always been about what can we give back, what can we do better. And I'll tell you one really important factor. If we want excellent, efficient government, if we're going to have government, better do a good job, right? And reform, innovation, sometimes when just cutting to cut, if someone says, if you give me this much, I can give you this much back. You know, we're going to build in this much efficiency. Those are hopefully the conversations we have, and that's my opinion. I'm not in the legislature, but you know, as a government oversight office, you're in the DRIVE program, and the work that Commissioner Badgerow did was really wonderful, because we should be doing a good job. I come from private sector, okay? I was in management, I own my own business. Private sector is not the panacea that people like to make it out to be. There's good businesses and there's bad businesses. There's good managers and there's bad managers. And so in government, I think we should be the best in the nation, and we should strive for being the best and most efficient. And so again, those dollars, you know, if I can use this 10 grand to make this improvement and we're going to be this much more efficient in 2 years, those are the conversations I hope you all can have, so that we're making the wisest decisions. And, you know, it's which limb do you want to cut off? Your right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg. Well, let's say I'm right-handed. Well, what if you just chop without asking the person, are you right or left-handed? Are they going to be productive anymore? I guess that's my question. And hopefully the conversation that we can have is government working, and is it working well? And if we give you this money, and ask people, are you being prudent with your dollars? Are you having Christmas in June? You know, how do you can ask these questions. But I really believe and hope that we're out of that mentality at this point in government, and if we're not, they should change.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, you keep referring to unallotment, and I wonder if you remember the most salient aspect of the unallotment by Governor Pawlenty was that it was illegal. And no agency anywhere in the state of Minnesota right now is participating in a budget by unallotment. In fact, we actually passed a reduction in the appropriations finally at the end of last session after the governor had acted illegally the year before. So this assumption that we should just be passing on Governor Pawlenty's executive unilateral unallotment to the constitutional offices because they didn't have an opportunity to participate is troubling. The fact is, we have an appropriations process. We have those budgets come before us just like all other budgets do. Whatever we appropriate for them, we appropriate for them. It's not, I don't think, a legitimate position to say that the governor's illegal action should be the basis for cutting them further. And I just go back to the same point that when you become reliant on the executive making all the decisions, I guess maybe you're not quite ready to make some of those difficult decisions yourself. And that's why this $200 million punt to the executive is one of the first bills that we see for budget balancing.
Representative Gunther.
You're an attorney, and you know about legalities much better than I do, but I believe the ruling of the court was the timing of the unallotment was illegal. The act of unallotment was not illegal. It's been used many times. The law was, I think, in 1939, as I recall. I think it's still something that is legal for any governor to use. They use it usually in the first year of the biennium when they are short of money. Governor Plenty used it twice. The first time was deemed legal. The second time was deemed illegal because of the timing that Governor Plenty used it. He was too quick at the switch. But an allotment was only applying, and I only mentioned it one time, and that was applying to the three accounts that did not have any unallotment. And unallotment was ratified by the majority party at the time. So I think the reason why unallotment was mentioned is those three departments that did not receive any decrease. So a matter of fairness.
Auditor Otto.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members. You know, I'll go back, and I might check with our finance people, but when there's been unallotments, I believe we've taken reductions each time. So we've been giving back as well. And the governor was, you know, kind enough to say, you know, how much can you do? And so we've struggled to do something for him. And so we have not been unscathed in terms of reductions in our budget.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for the auditor. I really appreciate your zeal to be as efficient as possible, and I believe that the other peers model that same behavior. So I don't want to cast dispersions to all government workers in that way, but you've made comments a couple of times about the fact that you were able to give back money. Were you able to give back $41,000 last year?
Representative Auditor Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll have to check on. Well, I'll check with my finance person, and we can get back to you with numbers if you'd like us to. And MMB probably has all that information as well. So, understanding that we are one of the tiniest fish in your sea in terms of the state budget. Most of our, when you make an appropriation to us, we put most of it back. So we really don't have an impact on your general fund. And the tiny bit that we do is things like investigations, getting back money that's been taken from government so we can get it back into the government, you know, through, you know, insurance or whatever else. And so we're an oversight office. We are the ones that are watching to make sure taxpayer dollars are spent accordingly and properly. And so we don't have much there. And we're probably one of the more efficient offices in government right now, I think.
Okay. And I'm on your side, but I'd like to follow up. So you haven't been able to give back out of the funds that are appropriated to your agency then? So the money that you give back through what means?
Auditor Otto?
Mr. Chair, well, we'll do this in the budget committee when our budget comes up. And if you're on that committee, you can see all the wonderful things that I, you know, about our office. When we get an appropriation from the legislature, we put most of that money back through fees we collect when we audit local governments, okay? But we also have some that's not. The part that's not, we've been able to give some of that back. We've had taken it through reductions, or we just send it back without reductions when we can. Again, we're focused on efficiency. We only use what we need to use. And so, yes, we have taken actual reductions in our budget, but when you try to slash our budget, usually what it means is you're also creating a hole in your revenue stream because we put the revenue in there, so you have to cut on both sides. You don't get anything out of us, really.
Representative Benson.
I'd just like to know from you if whether or not you feel like a 2.25% reduction in your budget with 6 months remaining in your fiscal year seems out of line.
Auditor Otto.
Mr. Chair, I would like to have a conversation and sit down with my staff and be responsible about it. The first time I saw these numbers was when I walked into the room this morning about a half an hour ago. So this takes thoughtful process. I will do whatever I can, but I'd like to have the conversation and be able to come back with a reasonable thing. So.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, Representative Benson, I think, followed my line of questioning, which was to try and ask what might be a fair number. And I think I'm remembering correctly, I think we added some audit staff to the auditor's office for ARRA management and things, and so I know we've, I think, hopefully, been fair and appropriate in terms of actually beefing up some of your audit functions, giving those streams of money coming through. So hopefully you feel like we've been fair to you in terms of positioning your office for success. Just maybe one quick side note. I did have the list of the FY 2003 unallotments that actually were implemented February 24th, so fully another month from now. And back then, the state auditor was unallotted $390,000. So I guess my hope, maybe you're running much more efficiently today and there aren't those kinds of opportunities, but my hope is that $41,000 would be a reasonable number. And like Representative Benson, just look forward to having communication back from you. This bill has a ways to go. There will likely be conference committees and things like that. So plenty of opportunity for your office to provide feedback, and hopefully 41. Maybe that's a bottom threshold. There might be something even higher than that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gunther, just want to make sure that I understand what your bill is doing. Is it a fair characterization to say that, in essence, you're extending or ratifying the at least a portion of the unallotment that we voted, many in this room voted to do before?
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Erdahl, the only portion that dealt with unallotment were the three state agencies of State Auditor, Attorney General, and Secretary of State. They were not in the unallotment process in any way this, when Governor Plenty unallotted and majority party ratified that unallotment at the end after it was deemed illegal because of timing.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard for or against this bill? I understand Dana Wheeler had requested to be heard. Thank you, Auditor Otto. We will have you back again here before long to present your budget to us.
Hi, my name is Dana Wheeler. I'm Executive Director for the Minnesota State Government Engineers. Our organization represents state employees who work for you in the administrative branch. There are approximately 1,000 of these employees who hold positions mostly as engineers, but also as engineering specialists and as land surveyors. They are the people who build, maintain, and care for deeply the infrastructure that we rely on every day. Addressing this bill and some of the other bills like this, I really would ask one thing, I think, and also suggest something. There seems to be this notion that state government needs to be counted in terms of the number of employees, and that sometimes we need to cut state government. It seems perplexing to us because as we look at building infrastructure projects and maintaining them, our focus isn't on, first, it isn't on the number of employees it takes to do the job, it's on the cost that it takes to do the job. In the media today, we hear an awful lot about a deficit in terms of dollars. Unfortunately, that seems to be, in legislation that we're seeing, translated into employees. A frustration for us when we look at not government waste, but in terms of how we could get more for every one of the few dollars we have to spend, is that there are times, not all, but there are times when a state employee could do the work for less. But we can't do that if we cut general funds. We can't do that the way we fund many of the projects we want to build in your communities, because often we say that the funds for those projects comes from some source, and you know this better than I. I'm still trying to figure out how funding and all these accounts work, that sometimes the funding for a project does not allow for general fund dollars or limits the amount of general fund dollars, and so consequently, rather than having someone do the work in-house, we have to send it out. And again, in not all cases, but in many, that costs more money. So it seems to me that we're heading in the wrong direction when we just off the top of our head decide to cut general fund dollars rather than asking frontline employees to work with us to identify ways in which every dollar we spend could be maximized. we have an awful lot of work to do, and we don't have the resources to do all of it. The engineers support eliminating high expenditures. We support balanced budgets. We ask to be able to work with you to identify changes that need to be made in statute so that every dollar that you have, that you make available through one fund or another, can get the most bang for its buck. That's simply my message, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Anyone else who wishes to be heard? Yes. Ms. Frazier. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Beth Frazier. I'm with the Office of the Secretary of State. And like Auditor Otto, I have just seen this number for the first time. And I guess just want the committee to know that this will be very difficult for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that in return for receiving Help America Vote Act funds, the state agreed to maintain our level of election spending, and so we cannot cut in the elections area. And so that means all of the cuts need to be borne by other parts of our office. We also, and I've discussed this with the chairman, will be looking for actually deficiency appropriations to handle unexpected expenses over the last year, including the statewide recount. There is also a lawsuit pending with some potentially significant attorney's fees. And so it will be very difficult for our office to absorb a cut of this size at this point in the biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Frazier.
Thank you.
And she has alerted me to those issues that will be coming before us before the end of the biennium. Anyone else who wishes to be heard? Welcome, Commissioner.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, representatives. For the record, my name is Jim Showalter, Commissioner of Management and Budget. Mr. Chair, you had asked that I stop in today to address or give you some information on this bill, and so I'm coming in that capacity to try and help, hopefully, clarify a few points along the way.
Sure. Okay. Proceed.
Very good. Mr. Chair, one of the things that I think is important for everyone involved in this process is just to get data, to understand the data so that you have something called information that you can act on. I've heard a number of perspectives discussed even just this morning, as well as in the previous days, about how large is $200 million regards to where we are today in the state financials. I've been asking our staff to get some of that information ready, and we'll be asking them, or already have, so that we will talk with your staff so that you get some detailed information about where the state stands right now in terms of unspent money, what's not been obligated, and so you get a real much better sense of what's going on. Because I think from a macro view, $200 million doesn't sound like so much, but it is a huge proportion of what's left unspent right now. From our review of the information based upon the authorities and the language, it looks about like 20% of the unspent money would be need to be reduced based upon this bill to achieve the $200 million. Unspent doesn't mean that it's not planned for use. So salaries, operating expenses, that's about two-thirds of the unspent money. So really when you get down to it, pretty much all of the unobligated money gets to be about that $200 million. So unobligated means things that aren't in the accounting system that don't have a clear plan for spending at this point in time. I'm not saying that that plan isn't coming. Example, food contracts and corrections. Those aren't obligated yet because we haven't fed the prisoners yet, but those are some of the unobligated funds that will be obligated in the coming months. So there's a lot of different things that I think your staff needs to work through and members need to work through so you have a better understanding of what this impact would be.
Well, thank you, Commissioner, for being here today and for that information. We you've got, as we do, a huge challenge ahead of us, and you're going to have, as we're going to have, all kinds of competing interests here that we're going to have to sort out and decide where we spend and where we're not going to be able to spend. So we look forward to working with you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Likewise, Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, I feel like, based on the testimony I've heard, that we're really rushing forward without having any concept of what the impact of this bill will have for the budget for the agencies involved. We haven't heard from the Attorney General's office. The constitutional officers just saw these numbers today when they were amended into the bill. There's more steps in the process, but this is the committee that is supposed to evaluate the budget targets that we have, and we can see this as a $200 million target if we want. Evaluate where that is and find out the best way to allocate where those cuts need to go. And so I think this is not ready to move forward. I don't think this is ready to go to Ways and Means. And so, Mr. Chair, I would move that we lay this bill on the table till we can get some more information, and I would request a roll call.
Motion has been made to lay the bill on the table, and that's non-debatable, and so we'll call the roll.
Lanning.
No.
Benson.
No.
Kahn. Anderson.
No.
Banyan.
No.
Downey.
No.
Gauthier.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Gunther.
No.
Hayden.
Yes.
Leidiger.
No.
Lilly.
Yes.
Loomer.
No.
McElpatrick.
No.
Murphy.
Yes.
Murray.
No.
Simon.
Yes.
Slawick.
Yes.
Stensrud.
No.
Erdahl.
No.
Winkler.
Yes.
There being 12 nays and 8 yeses, the amendment or the laying on the table does not pass. Representative Gauthier, you had a...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gunther, how did you derive at the $199 million? Because I'm not clear about that.
Representative Gunther?
It was a number that my leadership decided that was substantial enough to make sure that all the money that is in every department of state government that is normally spent at the end of the session would not be spent, and that they would act as responsibly as they can. And I could give you examples, but I don't want to start. We would be here forever. As responsibly as they can to make sure that we keep the money we can to address the deficit that we have.
Thank you. Commissioner.
Representative Gauthier.
I heard you saying that a lot of the money is already allocated and designated. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, is there $199 million laying around to have Christmas in July?
Mr. Showalter, Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the Christmas in June or July, for that matter, is—I don't want to even speak to that because that's really not what we're talking about. These would be significant reductions in total spending, based upon where we are at the budgets right now, with about two-thirds of the money basically wrapped up in the salaries that's sort of left unspent. We would be basically being directed by the legislature to take quite a few actions that I think everyone would want to understand before we took those on.
Mr. Chairman, if I may follow up.
Representative Gauthier.
Commissioner, would one of those actions possibly be laying off people?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, quite possibly. To take it literally every dollar from the unspent, unobligated area, you would be giving me the option. I'm not really excited about that option, but some of the items that are unobligated at this point include funds for military affairs and tuition reimbursement, remaining flood and tornado disaster relief match funding, lots of items that
are unobligated at this point. I don't want to use adjectives, but those are the kinds of things that we would have to make a choice over.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Commissioner Schulwalter, what you said at the beginning is we need to take a more thoughtful approach. We need more information. We need to think this through further. You know, Representative Gunther, and I hesitate to say this, Representative Winkler, you talked a little bit about theatrics in terms of the legislature and what happens, but you know, one of the things is when we have an engineer testify is immediately you think about safety. I mean, are we going to have bridge inspections that aren't going to happen? Are we going to have things like that? How are you going to draw the line on what's going to happen and what's not? Representative Gunther.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Slawick, those are decisions that we're going to have to ask the Commissioner of Management and Budget to come up with a list of things that could be cut in the Departments of State Government. It's going to happen in a bigger way at some point in time. We are going to have collections of revenue. They're called taxes. And we will have the appropriate ability to make those funding decisions then. It says he has to come up with a plan by March 31st. And this has got a long ways to go with that plan.
Mr. Chair.
Either way, we're going to have to look at developing with him a plan that will make even bigger assumptions.
Representative Slawick.
Mr. Chair, and just one thing we can be bipartisan hope a little bit on is what are the values of the plan? What are the values? Are they the values of the administration and the commissioner? Are they the values of the proposed Republican-controlled majority cutting $199,236? And that's where the... $236,000 is you're kind of passing... You're doing a value switch here. Is the values... I mean, that you've talked about here today of cutting versus the values of the administration. So I think, obviously, that's where you get into the political environment. But I think we have to continue to think about the quality of life in Minnesota, what makes Minnesota a good place to live, and that we don't compromise, obviously, at least our basic values of safety, of keeping the state running, of not doing anything that would compromise the people of Minnesota.
We're going to... wrap this up in a minute. Representative Downey?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Quick question for Mr. Showalter. Do you have the ability to unencumber funds in accounts?
Mr. Chair, Representative, to unencumber, basically the agency head would need to take action to say the plans, the activities that were about to happen should not happen and cease that. In a unallotment exercise, that is something that's conceivable. In this process, really we're being asked to just sort of reduce appropriations, reduce allocations. So that isn't an authority that's really discussed here.
Mr. Chair. Just
Representative Downey.
So I think maybe that's something we need to put on the table, too, and if the wording of the bill needs to be amended as we go along to open up that opportunity for the administration, maybe that's something we could do, because big projects get encumbered, start dates, timings, all of these things, who knows, maybe even bonding and other things are in this mix. So I just didn't want to leave the committee today with the explicit assumption that our only opportunity is unencumbered pots of money in a very limited one. It may be bigger than we know. And I really want to address the comments that have been made. Yesterday, I introduced what I thought was a really serious bill. It was called Tea Party Politics by a member. Today we heard Representative Gunther's bill called, I believe, Cheap Theater. And what I'm seeing this year that I really appreciate, that I didn't see in my first term, is that we're getting to work in the first 2 to 3 weeks of our legislative session. And I'm trying to remember when the budget targets were produced by the majority in my first year here. And I think it was like April 7th or April 14th, because I remember standing outside a committee room waiting for the targets to get set. And it was literally like 5 weeks, 6 weeks from when we were supposed to adjourn. And so I don't find this to be cheap political theater at all. In fact, I think these are really prudent, sober steps of guidance to the executive branch from the legislative. We are the appropriating branch. I think it's entirely appropriate for us to be sending these signals, sending these bills to the executive branch. In fact, I think we're collaborating very effectively. We're not diving down into the executive branch operations and telling them to pluck this and pluck that and pluck that. We're providing our kind of fiduciary guidance, our appropriation guidance to the executive branch, and asking them to respond. And this will be a dialogue before this bill would ever pass, if we ever had a chance of hoping that the governor would sign it. Clearly, there will be a lot of discussion in conference. So I really want to shut down the rhetoric. What we're seeing is the seriousness of action in January that typically you don't see until April or May. And I think that's entirely appropriate where we're at, and I support it and feel we should continue as a committee and a legislature to keep pushing on that.
Representative Green, and then we're going to vote.
Hello. Thank you, Chairman. Keith, I'm sorry, Representative Downey used a word that I really like, which is collaboration. And I think that's what we're feeling like we're not seeing here right yet. We want to see collaboration with the constitutional offices and others to really make sure that we're making the right choices. I'd like to request a roll call vote on this.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Gunther renews his motion that House File 125, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to Ways and Means. Call the roll.
Lanning.
Yes.
Benson.
Yes.
Kahn. Anderson.
Yes.
Bannion.
Yes.
Downey.
Yes.
Gauthier.
No.
Green.
No.
Gunther.
Yes.
Hayden.
No.
Leidiger.
Yes.
Lilly.
No.
Lohmer.
Yes.
McElfatrick.
Yes.
Murphy.
No.
Murray.
Yes.
Simon.
No.
Slawik.
No.
Stensrud.
Yes.
Erdahl.
Yes.
Winkler.
No.
There being 12 yes and 8 no, the bill moves on to Ways and Means. And let everyone understand that this is the start of a very difficult process, and we have a long ways to go, and this conversation that was started here today is going to continue, and Representative Green, there will be collaboration. There has to be, because at the end of the day, we're not going to get out of here unless there is. Meeting adjourned.
In July.